Recording and then, thanks, Rose. And if you can go ahead and take roll for us.
Sure. Judge Conklin?
I'm present.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Judge Getty?
Present.
Thank you. Judge Kelly will be absent today. Judge Merrifield? Judge Siebert? Mr. Kim will be absent today. Ms. Levere?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Riley?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Taniguchi?
I think you're muted, Neil. We can't hear you. Or you're not muted, but your microphone's not working. We can see you, so I guess we'll accept that for the moment.
And we'll give you credit for being present.
Mike is present. Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, present.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us so late in the day. We tried to coordinate this meeting that would be most convenient, but also plenty of time for discussion, but I think it's going to be a pretty short topic. I do need a motion to approve, if you've reviewed them already, the minutes from our May 18th meeting. They're at pages 3 and 4 of the materials. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
Yes, Yamasaki moves approval.
Thanks, David. Is there a second?
Riley will second.
Great. That was Brandon?
Yes.
Great. Moved and seconded the minutes from the May 18th meeting be approved. Any opposition to that? And hearing none, I'll deem those minutes unanimously approved. And Rose, I assume there's no public comment?
No public comment.
Great. This gets us then to the one single item today that Rose is going to present for us. It's the allocation methodology for SB 154 and 101, which is backfill funding related to waivers and fee elimination. So those waivers have changed to the benefit of the public, but candidly, I don't want to say to the detriment of us, but by changing those waivers, it reduces an income stream for the court. And so we need to address that. And to do that for us today is Rose. Rose?
Great. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rose Lane, and I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. The item on today's agenda for your consideration is allocation methodologies for backfill funding in Senate Bill or SB 154 and SB 101. To provide some background, SB 154 in the 22 Budget Act included up to $18 million in funding to backfill the trial courts for revenue loss resulting from Assembly Bill or AB 199. AB 199 expands eligibility for civil filing fee waivers by increasing the poverty threshold from 125% to 200%. To qualify for automatic waivers on various filing fees. The Judicial Council's Budget Services staff, in consultation with the Department of Finance, determined that the estimated backfill need for revenue loss due to AB 199 is approximately $1.6 million as other backfills are in place. Of this amount, $689,000 is designated for the trial courts. While SB 154 provided $18 million for this backfill in 22-23 and ongoing, the Judicial Council and Department of Finance established the $689,000 backfill by considering revenue data actuals and identifying specific revenues that are not currently being addressed through an existing backfill. So the SB 154 allocation methodology considers total revenue collected from the trial courts from fiscal years 17-18 through fiscal year 21-22 and provides a proportional backfill for each of the trial courts in 22-23 and ongoing. So this proposed allocation schedule can be found in column F of attachment A. The second methodology is related to backfill funding included in SB 101, which is in the 23 Budget Act signed yesterday by the governor. SB 101 includes $826,000 to backfill trial courts for certain criminal fees eliminated pursuant to AB 1803 in the 22 Budget Act. Though AB 1803 provides that individuals do not have to pay a fee to the court to have their records expunged. The SB 101 allocation methodology was also developed in consultation with the Department of Finance. It considers total revenue collected from fiscal year 16-17 through fiscal year 2021 as reported by the trial courts. It uses a five-year average to proportionally backfill the trial courts in 23, 24, and ongoing. This proposed allocation schedule can be found in column H of Attachment B. The recommendation presented by the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, outlined on page 7 of your materials, is to approve the backfill allocation methodologies for SB 154 and SB 101. So that concludes my presentation. Judicial Council staff are available to answer any questions the committee may have.
Nicely done, Rose. Thank you very much. So folks, I know for those of you that maybe got on a few minutes late, we were talking, this appears to be a relatively small amount of money, but any amount of money is appreciated and necessary for the branch. I think this also exemplifies a nice team effort between budget services staff, between the branch and budget and Department of Finance in working out the true need here, the flow of these funds, and the ultimate methodology. So good teamwork by all. Any questions for Rose or for staff about either of the two recommendations on page 7? Zlatko, anything you wanted to add to this?
And why do you ask? You know I always have something to say.
You had that look on your face.
I appreciate that, Judge. No, Rose has done a great job of summarizing. I think I'll just say is this methodology follows something that we did with some monies. I think it's now 2 years ago that we've been doing this AB 177 funds, where there was a change in law, monies that were not coming through our normal allocation process, which were returned monies to the courts or you know, just held there, sort of not part of our normal allocation process. What we've done is we see what the courts have collected, given a fiscal year averages, and just it makes sense to just give it back to the courts. On average, the way that they've been collecting these revenues historically. And so it's not something that's subject to workload funding. It is monies that would otherwise coming back to the courts directly for services provided. And again, right. This does speak to what you talked about. I think a good understanding that if laws are changed that impact branch revenues, the budget process is now basically automatically providing those backfills. But we provide accurate numbers, and when Rose talked about the $18 million that was initially budgeted, that was an estimate by the legislature. We worked through that process. And in fact, part of the reason why we were able to help stave off budget reductions is because in recognition of other backfill methodologies for the trial court trust fund, let's just say, we didn't need that money. And so we're just left with the honest and accurate amounts of backfill funding that's necessary that should go back to the courts that have been historically collecting those revenues.
Transparency is a good thing. And I'll note Judge Siebert has joined us, so we show Judge Siebert on now. Welcome, Judge Siebert. You've come in sort of at the end of the discussion. Rose just presented on the two recommendations that are set forth on page 7, and we're just concluding any comments or questions about them. If you have any, Judge Siebert, now's the time to ask. You're muted.
I don't, thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks for joining us. Any other comments, concerns about the recommendations?
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. I don't have any concerns, just a comment, if I may.
Of course.
One of the things that I think is greatly appreciated by the branch is the acknowledgement by DOF in recognizing just what Zlatko said, is decisions that are made that impact what we have really relied upon to help support our operations is important to get a backfill. And we obviously support the decisions that are coming out, and we follow all of the recommendations appropriately. But it would not be as effective in our advocacy efforts were not for the folks at the JCC really identifying the impact of some of the decisions and really pointing out why it is that backfills are so very important. And just want to say thanks very much for Zlatko and Fran and John for the advocacy efforts in helping demonstrate the importance of that point and getting the backfill that is so critically needed for our operations. So just want to say thanks.
And I'll say, if I might, and appreciate that. And I say thank you to our court partners. We know Judge Merrifield and Rebecca and you, David, and others, Kevin Harrigan in the past. There's Desitels coming in and making the court case for why, you know, these funds are required. So it's definitely a team effort on all our parts to make sure that the full story is provided. So, but yeah, appreciate it.
Well done by all. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was going to, if I may, I don't know if you called for the motion, but I would be happy to move approval of recommendations 1 and 2 on page 7 of the materials that have been provided.
Excellent. Thank you. Is there a second to David's motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, and that was Judge Siebert seconding that. So moved and seconded that the recommendations of page 7 of our materials be approved. And this would then be sent to, does it go, Rose, does it go to TITBAC for then recommendation to the council, or is this directly to the council?
This is going to TITBAC on July 6th.
Okay, great. And that's our meeting coming up in a week. So yes. Moved and seconded. It's now open for final discussion. Any further discussion of the motion? And hearing none, is there any opposition to the motion to accept the two recommendations as set forth in the materials? I hear none, and therefore I'm going to deem it unanimously approved by FMS to forward on to TICBAC for the meeting next week. Hopefully it will be as seamless to TICBAC as it was to this committee. It's really nice to see everybody. Thanks all very much. It's well before 5 o'clock, but we took the time necessary to address this item. Thanks for circling up quickly to get it done. Any other concerns besides how the Dodgers are doing? All right.
I think the Giants are ahead.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. Who isn't ahead? But anyways, thanks all. And again, very much Rose and Jesse and everybody to staff for putting this together. Nice work. Appreciate it. And we'll see everybody back on the 6th. Have a very safe and healthy 4th of July, everybody. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.